So much football this week, leaving us with so many headaches. We discuss our plans to bring in Isak if we'd play Grealish away at Anfield. And it's only game week 5, but these guys are making me change my team again. Welcome back to the FPL pod where, let's be honest, Jules is going to be unbearable because he had a good week. Sam also made some good transfers. I had another average week. Go on, Jules, go first. How was your game week?
No, I was just not sure how he went. I could not really check the app. The app was not working. I think
Might
be top of a minute. Yeah, no. 76 points. It was a good week again. I brought in Semenyo, which worked out well. I mean, to be fair, I was not too convinced. I just thought it's typically when you bring him into your team that he's just stopped performing, but he was good. Mo Salah as the captain, although he did nothing for 93 minutes and then still somehow scored that goal. I had a feeling Cole Palmer would come back, and he had such a great influence when he came on for Chelsea at Brentford. Joao Pedro the same. So yeah, for those players, it was really good. And Mickey van der Ven, obviously, Sam's favourite.
Yay.
Yeah, you were just jammy once again. Everything about your transfers was jammy. Sam, you had 2 successful transfers though, didn't you, this week?
Yeah, I did actually take a hit this week, which wasn't planned. It wasn't in the expectations. However, I made my transfer on Thursday evening, and then on Friday, which I never really do, but Munoz was going to take a price rise and I didn't want to lose that 0.1. So I thought, well, I'll do it on Thursday night. And then on Friday, obviously the 8 Norrie news broke. And I thought, well, I could just ride it out, not take a hit, play Ronaldo, which actually in reflection would have been fine and probably actually was the right thing to do because obviously the taking a hit has an impact. But I decided in the end that I would rather not take the risk and have a decent second option to come in as well. So Virgil came in. That was a good thing actually until the Salah penalty. Virgil was on for a bit of a bigger return than he got. So I was kind of a bit conflicted there.
Were you fuming when he scored Salah in the Champions League as well? Because he might have used up his goal now for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I was. I was like, oh, what are you doing, Virgil? Because I was really hoping that was coming in the league. But yeah, it was a good week. So nice to have a green arrow. I feel a lot better now. It wasn't quite as big as it was just before Haaland did Haaland things. But nonetheless, it was still a green arrow. 2 good transfers. And now we're going to 5 and I feel much more positive.
Yeah, I bought Munoz in, which I was quite pleased about. But I did also finally do Grealish. And again, I was like, I will do Grealish because I wanted him, but I wanted Semenyo as well. And yeah, just the way, isn't it? But I won't mind Munoz, although I could have done without the yellow card, to be honest. That's why I'm talking about you being jammy, Jules. You've got Gaye, who's cheaper than Munoz, and he gets a point more. And I'm like, how? How is that fair?
It's just, you know, talent, vision and planning, really.
Also, that's nothing else. One thing that Sam has noticed that I have also now really start to question, why do you put your vice captain on Kelleher? Or is that just an oversight, you forgetting to change it?
Yeah. I don't even notice the vice captain armband, to be fair.
But it's not moved off Kelleher. It's on Kelleher every week.
The problem is, Jules, that is pretty much, a goalkeeper is pretty much the worst person you could put it on.
I need to change it, to be fair.
Just in case, because 1 week, you never know, Mo Salah might get injured in the warm-up or something horrendous like that.
Yeah, that's very true.
And you'll be getting Kelleher's 2 points doubled. So, I don't know. If he saves, you never know, he might save a penalty and keep a clean sheet,
exactly,
in your luck.
That would be what he does on that week.
Okay, let's quickly check in on the FPL Pod Mini League. Then we've got a new leader, Tron Stomo, and his team, Cap Spurv. Is it Spurv? Or is that a typo, Sam? Is that actually Spurv?
Oh, no, it's not. It's changed. It's an autocorrect. Look, because if you look down at the league below, I have no idea how you say that. So I'm not even going to try.
Okay, well, congratulations to them. Great team. They claimed 5 places this week. They played their triple captainship on Haaland, getting 101 points for the game week. They also played 5 at the back, getting returns for all 5, as well as from the goalkeeper. It does show what we've said a few times this season. People are going bigger on defence now. Bilal Patel and their team, Arne's Army, also climbed 3 places into 2nd, 79 points for them, but they did sell Palmer for Wirtz, so 1 very frustrating thing. Also, just a shout out to NI. They hold their spot in 3rd, 79 points, also got a -4. But unlike Sam's -4, it did backfire. Kerkez came in for Dina and Gakpo replaced Saka. So they lost 6 points on those transfers. A reminder, the code for the FPL Pod Mini League is XY6XPL. Okay, then we'll get into the main chat for game week 5 and all the things that we're thinking of doing very shortly. But of course, it's a bit of a bonkers midweek of football this week. So we've had EFL Cup. We've also had Champions League. We're also recording on a Thursday morning. and half the Champions League games, or a third of the Champions League games, haven't yet happened. Jules, you were on Match of the Day over here in England last night, so you've been watching them very closely. Yep. Obviously, we can't talk about City and Newcastle because they're to play on Thursday night, but did anything important happen in any of the games involving Spurs, Arsenal, Chelsea or Liverpool?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we start with Liverpool because they're the champions, because Alexander Isak finally made his debut and played 57 minutes, and it took him 10 minutes before he touched his first ball, which is a long time. And at that time, Liverpool were already 2-0 up with Salah, a goal and an assist, dodgy assist, obviously, because it's not an assist, but anyway, let's not go there. But a goal, a really nicely taken goal. But then I thought Isak was decent for the kind of hour that he played. Ekitike then replaced him. I thought Wirtz was a little bit better too. And as we said, Salah maybe finding a bit of form. Now, Spurs were very solid again. Another clean sheet for them. Another win, 4-5. The game, and Sam was there, was a snooze fest completely. But she won't care, and neither would the Spurs.
I don't care.
Or Thomas Frank. Arteta's coaching was pretty decent again, because the two players that he brought in, Trossard and Martinelli, combined for the two Arsenal goals, one goal and an assist each. Don't bring them into your team, because I don't think they will play on Sunday against City. But it's good for Arsenal to have that depth. And then finally, there was also a bit of EFL Cup, so the League Cup in England, where we saw Aston Villa playing again and still not winning, although they scored a goal, Harvey earlier. They lost on penalties away at Brentford. And then big Ange Ball, second game, second defeat. Sorry, Sam, for your favorite Greek person in the world, because his Nottingham Forest team lost away at Swansea in the League Cup.
Not only did they lose, they were 2-0 up and they lost. So what that could do for confidence, what that could do for their confidence, and the fact that before they were so resilient defensively. Sam, I sold my Nottingham Forest defender last week, and I think there's going to be a lot more sales where that came from, isn't there?
Yeah, I did the same. I sold Murillo. So actually, when he went off in the Arsenal game, although he did go off having already registered the defensive contribution points, so he did get something out of that game. But yeah, I look at the Nottingham Forest defence, and it's such a shame in FPL, really, because for so long, Nottingham Forest have been like ever present in our defences. Like, a bit like Arsenal, right? It's like, well, you have an Arsenal defender at least one, or you'll have a Forest defender at least one. But this season, like, for most of it, I've had two, because I've had sales in goal as well. I'm not enjoying that either. But for now, that's definitely a wild card issue further down the line. And sales didn't play in the League Cup. So, you know, that will have a difference going into game week 5. But yeah, nonetheless, Nottingham Forest looking like a hard sell when it comes to defenders.
Yeah, at least Aston Villa scored, though. That was one thing in their game. Yeah. I mean, not the result they wanted, but they scored. Have you seen anything from them yet, Jules?
I mean, Harvey Elliott, for his first start with a good goal on a good, like, pressing movement from McGinn and him. Apart from that, really, there was not much from Villa in that game. I thought Brentford played well again. And it's not the first time we say that on the back of their draw with Chelsea. They'd beaten Aston Villa already before in the league too. So it was just another disappointing game from Villa, I thought, and from Unai Emery.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else to add on any of those, Sam? I thought you might want to. Well, you can't really gloat about Spurs when the game was like that, can you?
Look, I don't care how boring it was. It was a great result. Being back in the Champions League with a win, I'm happy with that, and another clean sheet. So again, I think from an FPL perspective, it bodes well. So yeah, positive, all round positive feelings about Spurs.
Actually, do you know what? I think we should have the Isak conversation at this point in the pod. I was going to hold it till later, but I almost feel like that was the biggest headline. I didn't expect him to start, and I thought it was interesting, Jules, that Arne Slot said that's why he didn't play against Burnley, because they wanted him to start today. And when he was asked post-match, will he start in the derby, he kind of smiled and said, maybe. I thought we were going to have a little bit longer before we had this Isak conundrum, but it seems like we've got this Isak conundrum now. Is it too soon to bring him in, though?
I think we're safe for this weekend. I don't think he will start on Saturday against Everton. He might come on, probably, likely, because now he still needs some to build up his minutes and his fitness. So he will come on. But I really believe Ekitike is going to start. But you're right. We didn't expect it to be like this. I certainly didn't expect him to start and be able to play an hour at Champions League level against a team like Atletico Madrid for another 3 to 4 weeks, maybe. But he's there. And as we saw, Ekitike made room for him, right? We said it before. I think he's one or the other. And it's never going to be Ekitike over Isak anyway. So Ekitike will have enough game time, maybe more in the domestic cups than in the league, I would think. So it's in your own risk if you still have it. If you have Ekitike and you keep him again for Saturday, I think Ekitike will start. So you're safe. After that, I think Isak would just get better and better. And we saw that yesterday, slow start, as we mentioned. And then he got into the game and he's just so good already. He makes people around him look good. He's just going to be an amazing asset to have at some point, but maybe not for the next week or so.
I've been holding this Ollie Watkins spot, as I said on last week's show. I agree with everything Jules has just said there. I'm also concerned, though, because Slot did say post-match, we've got two number nines. They can't play all the games. They'll rotate. This is going to be a nightmare, isn't it, Sam? This is exactly what we hate in FPL.
Yeah. I think the one thing that Slot did say that made me feel positive, if I was a Gakpo owner, I'd now feel quite secure about having him because he was talking about how he is his left-hand side. So I think from that perspective, if you've got Gakpo, you're kind of going, oh, that solves me worrying about this issue that's happening up top. I don't know. I think the Everton game may probably mix their minutes and some Isak comes off the bench and gets some of them. Ekitike probably gets the start. They probably swap around the same time that they did in the Champions League, I would guess, but in reverse of what we saw over there. I still think that we're all going to get Isak because I suspect he's going to be their main number nine. And then there might be some games where where Ekitike gets the start, but I think the majority of the time it's going to be Isak. And I think you're going to want him, particularly if you decide that you're going without Salah over the next few weeks to afford Haaland, then you're going to want to be having Isak to ensure that you've got that Liverpool attack.
The way you're making that statement, is that the way your brain is thinking at the moment? In terms of what you're going to do with your own team?
Yep.
Sell Salah?
That's the plan.
For Haaland and Isak? Whoa.
Not this week, but yeah, that is the plan on wildcard.
Every people who wildcard will have to think about that, surely.
Yeah, they have to think about it, but selling Salah is also a big call as part of that, isn't it?
Yeah, but then you lose him for AFCON in December anyway, at some point. And he hasn't been, I know he scored points and he scored goals, but he hasn't been that good. Although I think Isak is going to make him look good. If you look at the passing map from Isak last season at Newcastle, there's a lot of passes towards the Newcastle right-hand side. So towards Murphy more than Gordon. So I think naturally Isak probably has a right footer or I don't know, just likes just aiming everything onto that right-hand side. So there will be probably a lot of balls towards Mo Salah, maybe more than what Ekitike has done so far this season when he played as a nine. So I think Isak would benefit Salah. It probably benefit everybody because, as we said, he's just that good all around. Vils already yesterday, you saw in his mojo in the Atletico game that they could find each other really well in tight spaces, which is great. And then you'll have Gakpo on the left-hand side. And so I just think, inevitably, and again, I'm all for rotation and I want Ekitike to play a lot in a World Cup year. I want him to go to the World Cup with France. It's all good. But once Isak starts scoring and doing well, you don't take him out of the team just like that. So Ekitike will play against Southampton in the League Cup probably next week. That would make sense. But once Isak hits the ground running in the league, you would not want to not play him.
Okay, so conundrums ahead, but maybe it'll help us get Haaland in as well. So looking at the positives of it, because Haaland certainly looks like he is going to be someone that we are going to desperately want very soon. And I'm sure we're going to talk about him in the next section because we're going to play a little game of buy, sell and keep. Just working out which assets that we want to keep in our teams and which assets we're desperately looking to get rid of. We've already discussed a few of them, but let's keep with the Liverpool theme and start with Florian Wirtz. After his international duty goal, I think maybe we were hoping he was going to have a bit more goal threat with Liverpool, but still no returns for him. What do you think? It feels ahead of a Merseyside derby. I hate selling a Liverpool player, but I am selling Florian Wirtz because I can't wait any longer, Jules. Do you agree? Right move?
I know, Kels. I hear you. I think a lot of people will be like you. I think I'm going to keep because I see maybe naively a bit of improvement against Atletico Madrid. He created 5 chances. His expected assist is 0.75, which is really good. They should have scored he should have scored, to be fair, although he doesn't have a shot full stop in the 79 minutes that he played or something like that. But in terms of creativity, he was there. I thought against Burnley, if there was a little bit of spark from Liverpool, it was from him. So that was a little bit better. But you're right. For the price he cost, he hasn't done enough so far for us to justify keeping him. I just feel that this time could be, or I want to believe that this time could be the turnaround.
I guess it's a bit different for you though, Jules, because you've probably got the other midfielders. If you're desperate for another midfielder, like I'm desperate for Antoine Semenyo, that's the reason I need to get rid. So that's the reason I'll be doing it. Sam, what would you be doing?
Right. So
don't Semenyo's you two talk me out of this.
okay, Kels, you're not going to like what I'm about to say. Semenyo's the player I want also. However, Newcastle, defensively, are the best team in the league right now. Expected goals conceded, they're by far the best. Better than Arsenal by like 0.4, which is incredible, by the way. So Semenyo comes up against them. I don't see that being an easy game for him at all. I don't see him kind of rioting in that one. I agree with everything George just said about Wirtz. Like, I thought he looked way better with Isak up top. He looks better with a number nine who gives him more space and doesn't come quite as deep as Ekitike has. Ekitike likes to come in and be in and around the game, whereas I thought Wirtz looked much, much better with Isak up there. He's fifth for expected assist underachievers so far, which basically means that he really should have got an assist in the league by now already. And then you look at the record in Merseyside derbies, and I'm just going to give him one more week, and then I'll do the Semenyo thing the week after if needed, because I just don't see Bournemouth going on a riot against Newcastle. I really don't. So Wirtz is going to get one more week for me. I'm going to hold him. I wouldn't buy him right now, but I'm going to hold him for one more.
Oh, no. Why do you two have to get my... I wish I just made the transfer before now, because then you couldn't get in my head. I watched the Liverpool game as well and didn't think it was better.
It's up to you.
To be honest, though, I used two transfers last week, and I would quite like to keep two for the following week. So... Yep. Maybe you've given me food for thought. Oh, I promised myself, didn't I? It was my new season resolution.
You wouldn't like it.
You guys weren't going to get in my head. And here we are, game week 5, well and truly in there. Okay, then we briefly mentioned Aston Villa and the fact they have scored a goal courtesy of Harvey Elliott. I was about to say Harvey Barnes, wrong Harvey. But Ollie Watkins, we've mentioned him a few times on the pod. He's had a difficult start to the season, hasn't he? He didn't manage a single shot in game week 4 and had just one penalty touch. With the Isak thing further down the line or kind of getting nearer, I'm guessing we're not going to sell this week, but unless you want to go early on Isak, I don't know. What would you do, Sam? What are you doing? Have you still got him?
Yeah, he's another problem. It's hard again because it's actually a difficult fixture. Sunderland this week, they're defensively really robust. They've only conceded 3. Palace, Spurs and Arsenal are the only teams that have conceded fewer goals than that. So Sunderland looking actually very, very good. He did come on and score the penalty in the League Cup. So he's had the ball in the net this season. So, you know, that's a positive. I take positives where we can with this. I was a little bit frustrated.
He had a brilliant pre-season if you want to also jump on that.
Yeah, but that's why we're all here. That's why we're all here.
He tricked us.
He did. I was a little bit frustrated that he replaced Harvey Elliott because I wanted to watch them together in this one because I think that would have given us some insight into how Harvey Elliott's creativity was going to impact Ollie Watkins, but we didn't see that. Again, I just kind of feel like I'm just going to hold him, give him another week, and then let's see where we are. Spoiler alert, I'm planning to wildcard next week. So these players, it feels like, have got decent enough fixtures to go one more. It might bite me. But I also don't think that there's an obvious replacement for Ollie Watkins this week either, because Gyökeres has got Aston Villa, which is not ideal. He's got Man City, which is not ideal. And then Isak, we've just discussed, like, how certain are we about his start, the minutes he's going to get? And they're realistically the two that you would look at. Yes, you can come down, but I feel like the two I'd come down to, I've already got in my team in Gyökeres and Mateta. So one more week for Watkins. Let's see how they play against Sunderland. If nothing comes there, when we've got the creativity of Harvey Elliott in the team, that's then the moment, I think, that you would move on.
Agree, Jules?
Yeah. I mean, he played before the penalty that Sam mentioned that he scored in the League Cup. He played half an hour, didn't have a shot again. And I'm watching, and I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, I don't understand, even from a team's point of view, how you cannot just give him service, really. And that's the problem at Aston Villa. Maybe Harvey Elliott is going to change that, although I'm not too optimistic. They've got Sunderland, Fulham, Burnley. So for that, I guess you keep. But again, it's just, you know, we said at the start of the season, when you build your team, there's the players you're certain, the one who's proven in the game, in the Premier League, all of that. And we thought, okay, Watkins, you're going to get goals, assist. He might not get 30 and 10 or 15, but he would get at least 10 and 5, probably 15, 7. And then look at that. It's just terrible. I mean, he had 8 shots in the Premier League so far, only 2 on target. His XG is 1.1, which is for somebody like Alvi's level in a team like that, is really terrible. So it's only 0.35 of XG shot on target. So it's just, he hasn't been good enough. But it's also typically the kind of guy you let go and then scores a hat-trick the next weekend, you know, so...
So what would you say? Would you be selling or giving the other striker up the road? Keep
for another week.
Yeah, I think most people will be doing the same. Let's go on to, what about Villa assets in general? Other than him, we'd be selling, wouldn't we, Sam?
What, if you had a defender?
Or a Morgan Rodgers?
Oh, are you asking for a friend?
Rodgers. No, I sold him. Sold him last week.
Sold him. Yeah, Morgan Rodgers, I think I would sell, because there's lots of other midfielders that you could replace him with. I think there's a difference with Ollie Watkins, because in the forward line, there's less. So
the reason
I'd
ask about
Morgan
him is because I saw a few people last week kind of clinging on to the, you can't sell them ahead of these fixtures, you can't. And like, we're one fixture further down where they haven't returned. So some people are still holding them in hope, but I think obviously that hope is kind of dwindling away a bit now.
Yeah, and Sunderland and Fulham, decent defences, right? Yeah. So they're not going to be easy games, and I wouldn't expect Villa to score loads of goals. So, you know, on paper, yeah, the fixtures sound great, don't they? A newly promoted side, well, two newly
pre-season,
promoted sides in the next three.
Pre-season, all of this was so well planned and looked so perfect, didn't it? And then FPL came along and did FPL things.
Yeah.
Okay, from one current Villa player or a few current Villa players to a former one, what about Jack Grealish? Don't tell me to sell him. I've only just bought him in, but he is on my bench as it stands for this game week. Liverpool up next, but then it's West Ham, Palace and Man City. I didn't bring him in for one game week, so obviously I'm not going to sell him. I don't think I'd be bringing him in this game week. And I'm a bit annoyed with myself because I bought him in last week knowing it was Liverpool next. And I looked at what my team would be and I knew I was probably going to be bringing him in for the bench this game week, I suppose. But I was confident that he would get returns against Aston Villa and I'm still not really sure how he didn't. But he didn't. I wouldn't be buying him though. What do you think, Jules?
I thought of you watching that game. I felt a bit for him because really with a decent striker that is not Beto, let's be honest here. Sorry, Beto, if you're listening or watching. He has to assist again and he was so creative and so good. And I mean, there's some of his reaction on his crosses or on his ball where there's no goal at the end of it. And you see how frustrated he's like, what more do you want me to do? I can't put it more like better for you than that, for just you to score. So you were really unlucky at the weekend. I think they will be quite defensive against Liverpool. So I'm not sure how much Grealish is going to do going forwards. After that, there's games where, again, I think he would not be my worry. My worry is the players around him. And if it's not NDI scoring, I'm not sure Beto or Barry are just good enough right now to be able to make Jack, to get Jack's points in the game, you know, and if that makes sense. So I think it was a good idea. And a lot of people were like, you, Kels, they brought him in. I just feel, unfortunately, it's the rest of the team that will let him down at some point.
Yeah, I feel like in those fixtures against the teams that are not the top six, I think he could do well in his price point. I'm still happy to own him, just not for this game week. Sam, what would you advise people do? I guess it's tricky, but I don't think it is that tricky, actually.
Well, look, Liverpool also regularly conceding goals. They're not keeping, like...
Jules does make a valid point, though, that Everton probably will... You'd think they will set up and go there defensively.
Absolutely, yeah. I would expect Everton to be more defensively minded than they have been in the opening 4 weeks of the season. They've been much more attacking in those, and I would expect there to be a slight change of system for sure. Plus, they haven't scored at Anfield in the last four Premier League games, so Liverpool have kept clean sheets in those. He's definitely a hold. If you have to play him this week, though, I don't think it's the end of the world. Like, I think if Everton do get something out of this game, Grealish will be involved. I wouldn't buy him this week. But I think if you've got him and you have to play him, it isn't the end of the world.
Would you bench him?
He looks really good.
Would you bench him?
Who else is in your midfield?
Right, no, yeah. I don't want you to reply to this because there's going to be someone that you're going to hammer me for. And yes, I regret bringing him in, Mohamed Kudus, but I did it, all right? So I've got Florian Wirtz. This is why I don't love my midfield this week. And this is why Semenyo having Newcastle at home. I know Newcastle are good defensively, just felt a little bit better. So I've got Wirtz, Kudus, I've got Brighton away, Mo Salah, and then Reinders, and of course they've got Arsenal away.
I would play Grealish over Reinders. Reinders.
This is going to be like Cole Palmer again, isn't it?
Kudus, this is you know, zero shot on target, Mohamed Kudus.
Yeah, but Mohamed Kudus was so unlucky not to get anything last weekend, and I was annoyed because I wanted him to get returns, not because I support Spurs, nothing against Spurs, just neutral.
I mean, I do.
But because I wanted the points for my team, and also I wanted to be able to send you a text message in our group and say, excuse me, he's had a few shots here and he's been really unlucky. Yeah. He was so unlucky.
I haven't received your message yet.
Yeah, because he
was really unlucky.
Also, like, when he took the corner, the disallowed goal, the corner, Spurs scored a goal and, like, fine, it was ruled out, but it was touch and go. It was a very tight decision.
Well, yeah, it should have stood, to be fair.
Yeah.
This isn't, so this isn't the podcast for
but my point is, he didn't get an assist either.
But he is taking corners. He is getting in the positions. Yep. So I don't, it feels quite tough to now, don't get me wrong, like I said.
Sorry. He had one shot on target in four Premier League matches, which is you know,
but
it's
he's
one
on
more
corners,
than me. It's
and
one
he's
more
been
than
unlucky
Sam.
Not to get assists. Sam, next time, can you come with more kudos stats, please, and give me some expected assists and things like that? Because I genuinely think it would be higher.
Yeah.
Jules, caveat all of this with saying, I wish I hadn't brought him in. Let's not forget, I brought him in the week. I could have brought Jack Grealish in. I was between the two of them. I went for kudos. It was a classic Kelly move. It was wrong. But he's there now, and I'm not giving up on him yet. Probably in a week
or so,
he's off.
But Kel, surely you play the fixtures, right? So Arsenal have been a much more solid defence than Liverpool so far this season. So therefore, I would go for Grealish over playing Reinders against Arsenal.
But they're playing an Everton player, although Everton have been impressive this season. Arsenal have been impressive, but Everton going to Liverpool feels a lot tougher than Man City going to Arsenal. I do take your point. I do. Well, I've done it, haven't I? I've changed. I don't know if you can see this. If this is a podcast, I don't even know if it's going to be any good for YouTube. There
so
you go.
Have you
Super Jack's in there.
Reinders on the bench.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does make sense.
Although, you know, Reinders' runs against Arsenal would be quite interesting from City. I'm kidding. I'm messing with you.
You imagine how much grief we're going to get
in a minute.
You're
going to tell me to play. To be fair, actually, I've got Estev on the bench at Nottingham Forest at home. Maybe I should be playing him.
I'd probably play him.
No, I'm going to play Estev.
But are you at? Yeah, but then I like my defence. Who do you bench from? Sorry,
we'll just play four at the back.
I'm
Kels.
Already playing four at the back. I could play five at the back.
Play five
you
at
love
the back.
A back four.
I've got Munoz at West Ham away. Yeah, like I have to play him. Anderson got Brentford at home. Anderson is a DEFCON king. Pedro Porro, Brighton away. To be honest, he's the most likely to get benched out of this lot. Actually, Diouf, Palace at home.
Yeah, I've got Diouf as well. He's on. I prefer Estev than Diouf.
All right,
and
doing that now
Potter.
As well.
I do too. Oh.
Congratulations, Diouf owners. He's on my bench. Double assist coming.
Watch him pull.
Right. Okay, let's continue. I've lost the plot. Okay, Pedro Porro is actually the next player I was going to talk about. He's got three clean sheets, but I mean, I wish. And one of my moves to get Haaland is going to be moving Pedro Porro down to Van de Ven. I nearly did it this week before his price rise. Sam's got a big smile on her face. Yeah, I'm not annoyed I've had Pedro Porro, but I'm going to need to save some money for Haaland. So he will be a sell, just not this week because it needs to be part of a wider move. What do you think, Jules? In fact, both of you are Van de Ven owners, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's the best ever.
He's just, he's unbeatable at the price that he has and for what he can bring. And he's not going to score every weekend, we know that. I would actually say that probably Romero has more chances to score more than Van de Ven on a more regularish basis, if you want. But when he does, like he did at the weekend, it's really sweet. I think Pedro Porro is also a very good pick if you don't mind the cost difference between Van de Ven and Porro, because there would be more going forward from Porro than there would be for Van de Ven, really, certainly in terms of assist. But Van de Ven, is just again, for what you pay for him, it's just brilliant to have.
Anything to add?
If it makes you feel better, Kels, on Saturday when we were watching the Spurs game, Lee said, as we were in attack, he went, I don't really see much point in holding Pedro Porro over Mickey Van de Ven anymore because he's not on set pieces. Literally, as he said it, Van de Ven put the ball in the back of the net and I lost my mind. Like, I fully lost my mind. And he was like, what unbelievable timing for that to happen, as I've said it. And I think a lot of people will feel the same way that you do and that he does, that Pedro Porro is not really taking the set pieces anymore because now Xavi's there. So now we've got him taking the set pieces, which was the whole appeal of Pedro Porro in the first place. So I don't think you would sell Pedro Porro unless you really need the money to go somewhere else, because a sideways move never really feels like the right thing to do. But if you're wildcarding, I don't think there's any reason to not have Mickey van der Ven, because from set pieces where Spurs are really good, Mickey is going to be in the right places. If you've got a bit more and you want to buy Romero, then fine. But I think Mickey's just great value.
It's also pretty clear, isn't it, Sam, that Thomas Frank has gone in there and the first thing, it's not especially fluid in attack at the moment, but the first thing he's said is, okay, this team had problems defensively last year and I'm going to sort that out first.
Yeah.
Look, when you look at the way they play, it's it's the beginning of a big project for Thomas Frank there, isn't it? But that's the first thing he's doing. So we spoke about it the other week, and that's why I kind of feel like I was wrong to go for Kudus. I wanted Spurs attacking cover, but actually it is all about the Spurs defence. A sentence I probably never thought I was going to say on this show.
Yeah, I mean, 3 clean sheets, 1 goal conceded, plus a clean sheet in the Champions League. Like, they're really solid. And we knew this anyway. When that back four play together with Vicario in behind, they are solid. It's just that last season, we played all our attack and half the time, half of them were injured. So if you can keep them fit and playing together, they can be a really good defensive unit. And the centre-backs have incredible attacking threat from set pieces, which we're really good at. So, and we know that Thomas Frank's teams are especially good from set pieces, and Spurs have picked that up quite quickly. So, yeah, I think investing in the Spurs defence makes a lot of sense.
Even Vicario has been under the radar.
Jules, it's making me feel a bit weird.
He's the best goalkeeper.
You being nice about Spurs.
No, I'm just saying, it's true.
Makes me happy.
I'm just objective, you know. Like, and it's true, Vicario is the best goalkeeper in the game so far this season. And I think he's... You know, we talk a lot about Raya or Pickford or Sanchez, but Vicario has been the best, and he's only owned by like 10% or 11% of the managers. He's, you know, he's got a decent price, although he had a price rise because he's been that good. But yeah, even him would be a good pick.
Okay, producer Jesse WhatsApps me during to tell me how long we've got and gone. And you nearly, when I was holding my phone up, you nearly got him saying basically, hurry up. Because it really came down on the top of the screen. So before I get another message like that, let's try and hurry through these because we've still got to do differentials. Erling Haaland, we all want him, don't we? I think we've spoken about him multiple times.
You two, really, you took me out of having him from the start with Salah. You said, no, look at the rest of your team.
I still stand by that. I don't think you've missed out on that
two
much
of them together.
I knew he would be good. I told you he would have a good season.
Five, Jules.
We didn't say to not have Haaland.
I know, but still, I should have kept him. I don't know why I listened to you two sometimes.
No, I'm absolutely not taking blame for this.
Not having this?
You did. You said like,
we said not to have both of them. We didn't tell you not to have Haaland.
Yeah, but like
you could have not had Salah.
I know, but both of them... Salah hasn't played that great, but he still returned well. So... Both of them really was the good move to do at the start of the season. And I was about to do it.
You're a sheep. You constantly said that Salah wasn't looking good and then you brought him in. It's on you.
Yeah. Because you said like you can't start a season without Mo Salah, which is true.
I've just told you we need to move on quickly.
Basically,
this was maybe a quick section.
Haaland, if you can bring him, even against Arsenal.
Would you not wait a week? I'm going to wait a week to get 3 transfers to do what I need to do to get him.
But if you can bring him now,
because that would also probably mean selling Salah ahead of the Merseyside derby. I'd rather have Salah in the Merseyside derby than Haaland against Arsenal.
True. If you can do it next week. I think if there might not be Saliba on Sunday, there might be Saliba. But even if it's Mosquera, it's not the same, and Haaland is in great form.
Sam.
I just wait a week. Yeah,
same.
Do it next week.
Okay. Salah sale will be part of that. You've got to wait a week, haven't you, Sam?
Yeah. Wait a week. I don't think you want to take him out. He just scored in the Champions League.
He scored in normal time as well. He scored early on.
I know he scored in, you know, during the game. We didn't have to wait for his return into extra time. We just had that from Virgil. Just hold him a week. It's the Merseyside derby. He's got a great record against Arsenal. Give him a week.
Okay. We spoke about Forest already. We'd sell their defenders. I'm not even going to ask you that. Would you sell Matt Sells? We don't like doing goalkeeper transfers, do we really, Jules?
Yeah. No, I would sell Ange Postecoglou, to be fair, already, but... Let's not go there. It's a bit early. Ange board, big Ange. I'm not interested in Nottingham Forest at all. Sorry.
Okay. All
as
right,
in well, their yeah. players, you know, and, you know, we're going to watch them, but that's it.
Okay, then let's move on to differential of the week. Jules, we finally had a return. Sam, was that one of the first returns this season from the differentials from you two? Because I feel like you've been all...
Jules has had a few.
Have you not had one yet?
No.
No.
Maybe next... There's always next week, Sam. There's always next week.
Sam, your team, your this actual week, team is slowly climbing, so maybe your differential picks will follow.
That's what I think is going to happen now, Kaz. Now I'm on the climb. So now the differential is
quite a slow one, isn't it?
Well.
It's quite a slow climb.
The only positive for me right now is that my Champions League fantasy team has gone really well. So I'm like, at least I've got one thing that's working because everything else has gone in the mud.
Not to mention number 32 and Magic Johnson.
Right, so Jules got in die last week. He got 5 points courtesy of a clean sheet and 2 DEFCONs. Sam went for Mateta, who got 2 points for a differential and 2 points in her actual team. Jules, Sam even, I feel like we probably should have done Mateta in the game of buy, sell or hold. How are you feeling about him? Because Oliver Glasner's comment, he basically said he's just been really unlucky.
Yeah, and then he said he needs a rest. Yeah. And I was like, do not rest him.
That is not the answer.
I don't want that, Oliver. He needs to play against West Ham, for goodness sake. He's got West Ham next. So surely he's going to score against West. Surely. They don't really have anyone else to replace him with. So we just have to be a bit more tired, please, Jean-Philippe, please. Yeah. I don't know. He's incredibly frustrating, but the fixtures remain nice. I like Palace. I've given him to West Ham game. West Ham, we get in a hat trick, surely. Yeah. We're just a week late for my differential.
Okay, then who are you going for with your differentials? Jules, you can go first because you won.
So you're going to say that again. I'm nice to Spurs. It's just me by it's my
it's
Spurs
getting weird,
morning.
Isn't it now? It's
yeah,
getting weird.
It's really weird. But it's Lucas Bergvall, I think, who looked very good last week. Very good in midweek against Villarreal, even if he was lucky. I mean, it's not his goal anyway, but I suppose we're lucky on his cross that ended up in the back of the net. Yeah, I just love his activity. It cost you 5.4 million, so it's really cheap for a midfielder to go back again to a lot of good players. Of course, there's a lot of decent options around 6 million, 6.5, but him at 5.4, he's only owned by 0.3% of the managers. He's got a more advanced role, I think, in this Frank team. He's got freedom too, but he runs so much. He's got this incredible activity. He makes good runs in the box. He's a smart kid. He's good technically. I think he's a star in the making for sure. But Spurs have Brighton, Wolves and Burnley. So, I think it's the right time to bring him. And even if he doesn't do anything against Brighton, you'll have him for the next two games, Wolves and Burnley, and he's going to return in those. So, yeah, Lucas Bergvall for me.
Sam just looks so suspicious that Jules is Spurs loving. Who are you going for?
It's bizarre.
It's weird.
I'm going to keep continuing to send love Crystal Palace's way.
That's weird as well. That's weirder even, yeah.
I know, it's a bit odd. But this time with Lacroix, because I think the way that Palace are defending has been really good so far this season. And again, it goes back to what we were saying before. Like, we all go for these really expensive defenders in teams. So, like, we go to Arsenal, we automatically look at Gabriel, who's in 22% of teams, compared to Calafiori and Timber, who are both in, 13 and 11% of teams. It's the same at Spurs. Pedro Porro's owned by 25% of the game. Romero's in just 6% of the game. At Palace, Munoz is owned by 14% of the game. Lacroix is in just 4% of the game. So a massive differential. And he has returned 4 points more than Munoz so far this season. He's got 4 DEFCON points already so far, but it actually should be 6 because in game week 3, he got the additional DEFCON added after the game had closed. So he really should have had it in 3 game weeks so far this season. He's registered 44 defensive contributions, which is the 4th best across the defenders in the game so far. Has had 6 penalty area touches, an assist and 2 bonus points so far this season. He faces West Ham, who are definitely the team to target right now in the league. It should be an opportunity for at least a clean sheet, plus some attacking returns. It could be a massive haul for all Palace assets this week. And Lacroix, I think, is just a fantastic differential and a great enabler at 5 million.
Okay. Let's see which one of you comes out on top. Sam, it's going to be painful for you if Bergvall returns. You'll be half celebrating, half fuming.
Yeah. I won't know what to do.
Don't show up next week.
Transfers and captains. We're all going to captain Mo Salah, aren't we? How many times do you reckon I've said that phrase on the pod? Everton at home, are we not?
Lunchtime kickoff, Kelly.
Oh. Kelly, I know it's weird. Serious when you call me Kelly.
Yeah, definitely. That's your weird, superstition.
I don't like it.
Well, I'm going to captain Mo Salah. Who are you captaining?
I don't know. I might go Jao Pedro.
United.
It's a tough fixture.
is it?
That's a historical Kelly coming out of. It's a tough fixture going to Old Trafford. It's United. Yeah, no. Well, I don't know. Jules, any other options?
Yeah, Cole Palmer for me. I thought he was really good against Bayern on Wednesday night. He scored a great goal. He was unlucky.
Fair play.
In the
you
second.
Must be one of the only people that's held him.
Yeah. Because, and it's just quickly, because I know producer Jesse's not going to be happy, but.
He's never happy, don't worry.
One, Palmer is an amazing player, full stop. But two, this is still a team that is so dependent on him, which is not a bad thing, but he makes such a difference when he plays for them. And you saw as soon as he came on against Brentford, their team just changed completely and their game just changed completely. So I just think, again, he will be the case at Old Trafford on Saturday. And I'd be very tempted with Cole Palmer captaincy, I won't lie.
Do you know, fair enough. I thought it was actually mental. I'm crazy. Sorry, I've just got a text through from Jesse. We're actually fine, thank you. 40 minutes now.
It's crossed that we called him out like that.
Yeah. No, he actually secretly loves all the name checks. Fair play, Jules. It was a weird decision to hold 10 million on the bench, but you did it and it's actually paid off because he's going to be a bit of a differential for you now, isn't he?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I mean, we knew the injury was not that serious either, and he got a good break during international break because he obviously didn't go with England. I was hoping he would start against Brentford, but then I knew that as soon as he was on the bench, you don't bring Cole Palmer on your bench to just watch the game and get caught, you know. So at some point, I knew he was going to come on. But again, it's the contrast between the team without him in the first hour or so at Brentford and then with him. And really should have scored a second goal. I don't know how he missed that in the Kelleher save. But yeah, he's just that good. And I thought he was good against Bayern. And if you're Chelsea going away to United in the form that they are right now, you'd fancy your chances. And I think Palmer could run riot in that United defense. So I think if you have him, if you still have him like me, making him captain is very, very tempting.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a lovely differential. Sam would hate that. I'm a bit worried, Jules, you're going to have one of your really good seasons because you're doing slightly left field things and you've got that streak of luck that you had in the season where you did really, really well.
Stop saying that.
If that's the case, I might be resigning from this podcast. I could do it as a one-off, but I don't think I could watch it for another season. Anyway, on that note, let's leave it now because producer Jesse will start to get angry. He's a very angry man. Reminder, it's a Saturday deadline to get your teams locked in before 11 a.m. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday, so make sure you join me. It'll be on the Fantasy websites and app and also on TV. It depends where you're listening to, so I won't tell you where to watch because everyone listens to this in different countries. Off the Bench will also be back on Monday. It'll be Sam and Harry talking you through all of the talking points from Game Week 5. Thanks for listening, guys. Sorry this one went a bit crazy, but you know us. See you next week. Bye.